The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Yesterday, we began to see that the people of Nehemiah's day committed not only themselves to God, but also their praise to Him. God had blessed them so greatly that they could not contain their joy in the kingdom. Today, we finish up looking at the way they committed their praise to God and then consider how they then committed their property, their stuff, to God. God expects us to contribute to the work of the kingdom from the abundance of material blessings that He has given to us. Join us today as we continue looking at the things they committed to the kingdom.
Thank you. Now, I want to remind you of something that was said about these walls and about this structure back in chapter 4. You remember when the enemies were the enemy of God's people, Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, and all those others, they were doing everything they could to try to destroy the work of the kingdom and to distract God's people. And that enemy back then, I think it was Sanballat, said, "These walls are so weak that if a fox runs up on them, they'll fall down." Making fun of them, just making fun of what they were doing. And yet here we have two big troops of people marching around those walls. Now listen, it would have been easy when we came back here in 2011 for people to say, and maybe they said it, they didn't say it to me, but maybe they said it, say, "You got to be kidding me. You're going to that church with one little member, just one member. It's a dead church. You know, it won't last long." Here we are. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to always last. You know, we have to continue to do like these Israelites, and we have to focus upon the work, and we have to be dedicated to the work of God. You know, the church, God will never lose his people. There's not one of his people will ever be lost. But the work of the local church is to a great extent up to us. Whether the local church survives is a very much a function of our dedication to it and our prayers for it. Okay? But here the enemy had said, "These walls will just fall down if a fox runs up on it." But yet God blessed them in their efforts to where now you've got this almost like an army marching around these walls, on these walls, and they're not falling down. Now, let me just give you a warning, because it's important that we not forget this either. This was a milestone in the history of Israel. Okay, this was a milestone. And we've experienced some of those in our lives, right? But sometimes it's too easy to let a milestone become a millstone that weighs you down, okay? The way for that to happen is if we begin to sort of stake out our own territory. You remember in the work of the walls, there were some that worked near their homes. There were some that worked away from their homes. But, you know, sometimes we get to the point where we're like, you know, "Well, this is my territory," and we get a little possessive. I've even seen churches that weren't real happy when people came visiting. I mean, you think that's crazy, but it's true. I've been part of churches where if somebody showed up, it wasn't like "Oh, we're so glad to see you." It's like, "What's he doing here?" But the buddy knows what I'm talking about. You see, this is our church. Look what we've done. We built this up. I worked on this church building. I gave money to this church building. I give more than anybody else to this church building. They need to listen to what I want. This is mine. Listen, that's the quickest way to kill a church. That's the quickest way. I hope you have some possessory interest in this. I hope you think of Zion Church as your church, yes. But I'm talking about that in a sense of your dedication to it and your love for it. But when you get to the point of possessiveness, and it's like this is, you know, I read about a people that were like that. We're not going to turn there, but you go over to 1 Corinthians, and you'll read about divisions over there. Some said, "I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Jesus." There was all kinds of divisions, but you know what Paul said about that? Paul didn't say, "Well, I hadn't done anything." You know, we can be so overly humble, Brother Mackey. "Oh, I've nothing. I've not done anything." I hope you've done a lot for this church. I've tried to do as much as I can for the church, and I hope you've worked in it. I hope you can say, "Man, I put time and effort and money and material, whatever, prayer, whatever it is." I hope you can say that about this church. But you know what? Paul had put in all kinds of sweat equity. He had worked for the church and the kingdom of God. But you know what he said over in 1 Corinthians 3? He said in verse 6, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." I hope you've planted. I hope you've watered. I've tried to do some of all of that. But you know who gave the increase? God gave the increase. These people here that worked and labored and sweated on the walls, they did appropriately put their efforts into it. They gave their money to it. They gave their time to it. But beloved, they remembered that God is the one that has to bless it. We ought to labor. We ought to be dedicated. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Listen, I know here at this church, I am so thankful for Aunt Lorene. I'm thankful she didn't give up. I'm thankful she prayed. I'm thankful she reached out to my brother. I'm thankful he prayed. I'm thankful he worked. I'm thankful for Brother Mackey and for all the labor he put into. But listen, not one of them has ever said, look at me. See what I have built up. I read about a king that did that. He said, it's not this great Babylon that I have built. And the next thing you know about that king, he was turned out to pasture like a wild animal. Lost his mind, we would say today, until he finally came back and said, God is the one. He said, he is the one that you can't question. He hath his way in the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the land. And no man can say unto him, what doest thou? Or stay his hand. So don't let the milestone. The people had labored. Nehemiah had led them. But God owned the wall. It was God's building. Beloved, this is God's church. God's kingdom. And he is the one that gets the increase. Now, look at verse 43. We've already read it. Already referred to it. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. You know, there's so much here. I don't have time to unpack it all, but just when the time comes where the labor has been given, you've been laboring for the kingdom, and you begin to reap the benefits. You begin to see the growth. You begin to see the blessings, okay? That's kind of where they were. And when that day came, they didn't stop. They offered more sacrifices, and they rejoiced. Notice, for God had made them to rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Now notice that word afar off. That literally means a remote or a far and distant land. Beloved, the joy of these Jews was heard afar off in a remote and a distant land. It wasn't just something they kept to themselves. It wasn't just something that affected them there within those walls. It reverberated around the countryside, and people heard their rejoicing. I have this vision here of like me being in that ball game when that kick was blocked, and the sound got so loud of the rejoicing of the Alabama fans that it hurt my ears. Beloved, I believe this was a rejoicing even greater than that. I don't know if it hurt their ears or not, but beloved, I can tell you that I think every once in a while about that kick. Every once in a while, like yesterday when we played Tennessee, I remember, yeah, I was there that time we beat them, and it's a good thing to remember, but beloved, that's nothing in comparison to what God has done in his kingdom here at Zion Church. Beloved, I think, well, that was great that Terrence Cody blocked the kick, but look at what God has done here. We're having a service on Sunday night. They had never had a service on Sunday night. We've had it every Sunday night, every Sunday morning, two Wednesday nights a month. We're able to rejoice in the sovereign grace of God. We've seen increase. We've seen God add to the congregation. We've seen the congregation grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. We've had our downs, but we've had many ups, right? I can rejoice in that a lot more and a lot longer than I can in some block kick or some hockey goal. You know it. Beloved, Paul, who I believe wrote the book of Hebrews, said this, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. giving thanks to his name. Over in Psalm 69 and verse 30, David writes, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. Beloved, I can tell you that what we're doing here at Zion Church tonight pleases the Lord more than an ox or a bullock or a block kick or a kick six or anything else you can think about that has material things attached to it. And this day, their joy reverberated around the community. And beloved, our joy ought to reverberate around our community and indeed the whole world. And I'm glad to report to you that that has happened, that there are places I go now across this country to where people will mention what's happened here at Zion Church, and they rejoice in it. It's been encouraging to them. And beloved, we ought to seek to continue that. Now, also, I want to point out that they didn't come up with something new. They worshiped in accord with Scripture. Look at verse 36. It said, his brethren, and he names them, said, they praised the Lord with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, and Ezra the scribe before them. What does that mean? That means they didn't make up their own things. They didn't come up with their own plan. They went back to the plan that was laid out in the Scriptures. They did not try to come up with something new. They didn't make up their own new thing, or they didn't add to that which was already there. They just followed what they had from Scripture. You're going to see as we move on here in a minute that they went back to the days of David and Asaph and Solomon to find what it was that they needed to do, which was going back to the Scriptures. And beloved, that's what we need to do here. That's what we tried to do here. That's what we try to do every Sunday, is build our church upon the ground of the truth and be a pillar of the truth to hold it up for people to see. They committed their praise to God. And now as we go down through the rest of the chapter and bring this service to a close, we're going to see that they committed not only themselves to God and their praise to God, but they committed their stuff, their material things to God. Verse 44, that at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offerings, for the first fruits, and for the tithes, to gather into them out of the fields of the cities the portions of the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God. That ward just means the guard there. And the ward of the purification. They were diligent to observe it, you see. According to the commandment of David and Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. And all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah gave the portions of the singers and the porters every day his portion. And they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. Now notice what we see here. They committed their stuff to God. They were dedicated to the work of the house of God. Back in chapter 10, they had covenanted to support the temple ministry. And here we read that the tithes and the offerings were brought into the temple storehouses to support the work of those who worked and labored in the temple in serving the Lord. Some of the Levites were appointed over the collection of these things. But I want you to see something important here. The people weren't made to do this. They gave willingly. They didn't give grudgingly. They gave willingly. In verse 44, it says that Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. And this is in connection with them giving their tithes and offerings. Now you know that we don't tithe anymore in the kingdom of God in the New Testament. Tithing was an Old Testament law, but we give free will offerings. We give freely. It's that free will giving that we're told to do. God loves a cheerful giver, okay? We're not made to do it. And I've said this many times, you know, the 10% under the tithing law, that's what tithe means, is 10%. That's a good start. That's a good place to start. Don't limit yourself to that. You can start there. I heard a preacher say, I believe it was Brother Garnet Brown said, if the law demands it, grace deserves it. Okay? So that's a good place to start. But if you give less or you give more, whatever you give, give willingly, give freely, okay? And they were giving even though the law required them to give a certain amount and they had committed to give more, they rejoiced for being able to do that. Judah rejoiced for that. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6 is where Paul deals with the issue of giving. He said, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." See, that's what I'm talking about. It's not about being made to give. He said, "Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Now, in case that bothers you, you say, "I don't know if I can afford to give," whatever. He said, "And God," verse 8, "is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." The point he's saying is, look, God's going to bless you. Whatever you give, if you give it freely and not grudgingly, God's going to bless you. And they were excited about this. In verses 45 and 46 that we read show that the priests and the workers of the temple were obedient to the word of God and faithful to the word of God in conducting the worship. And they did it not according to their own ideas, but in obedience to the directions given by David and Solomon. Notice the end of verse 45. According to the commandment of David and of Solomon his son. And he talks about David and Asaph and the songs that they were to sing. And then in verse 47, I like this verse. It says, "All Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah." That's a many decades period of time there. "Gave the portions of the singers and the porters every day his portion, and they sanctified holy things to the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron." And all this is saying is this, is that all the days of Zerubbabel, all the way through Ezra and Nehemiah, there was no problem in the support of the work of the temple. The people were willing to do it, and they did it cheerfully. You see, and I believe one of the reasons they did it cheerfully is because in that day, this was a godly ministry. It was a ministry at the temple there, a work of the temple that exalted the Lord and obeyed the word of God, as opposed to a worldly ministry that was seeking only to fulfill its own ambitions. You remember in the days of Samuel's sons, Phinehas and Hophni, or Eli's sons, Phinehas and Hophni, they were stealing from the people. They were using the stuff that was brought to the temple for their own pleasures. And people were very much negative toward the temple in that day. Beloved, people will be that way if the ministry is selfish and self-focused. But when the ministry is trying to exalt the Lord, when the work of the church, the temple of the church, is trying to obey the word of God, people tend to be much more glad to bring their offerings to the house of God and to support the ministry. I've heard this statement before. When God's work is done in God's way for God's glory, it will not lack God's support. God will bless us. Now, I don't have to recount, do I, how he blessed us here. Do I have to go back and remind us of how that when it came time to build this building, we thought we were going to have to borrow all this money, and we never even spent the money that we did borrow. The Lord blessed us to complete this with much labor from within the church, from those who worked here, and much blessings from outside of the church in a material sense, the donations we got. God blessed it to be done in a way that I believe pleased him. Now, as we close, let me just say this. Material gifts, our giving, are simply spiritual sacrifices to God when they're given in the right spirit. Paul wrote it to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. He said, "I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." In that day, what he was talking about is those Philippians had sent a donation, basically, to Paul. Beloved, when the preachers come here and preach for us and we give them of our substance, that's a blessing. That's a sweet-smelling savor, a sacrifice acceptable to God. And let me just say that the church here is always so gracious to those ministers that come and visit. So let us not forget to give of ourselves, to give of our praise, and to give of our material things to the work of the church, the house of God. When we do this, our praise, our shout, if you will be heard afar off, reverberating around the community and indeed the world, much more than the shouts of praise of any hockey game or a blocked field goal or a kick six that you will ever see in this world. God is pleased with what we do here, and when we praise Him in that way, I believe He's even more pleased. I appreciate your kind attention tonight.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.